Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Tuesday. Your sports bros, your sportsmen. Rob, that's me.
Sada.
Big Sook's right over there.
Right here.
Look at him. Schulte is here. We are watching Tom Izzo yell at players yet again.
Shocking.
Tonight.
You know there's golf on tonight too, Rob.
What?
Yes.
What are you talking about?
It is the Capital One sponsored tournament for all the former MLB players. It's happening Vegas tonight.
I think it's current, right? And don't they have like 15 current, 15 former?
Yeah, it's current and former. Excuse me.
I heard something about that.
Okay.
I won't be watching, but all right.
They playing at Shadow Creek?
Yes.
Probably.
Yeah. That is correct. Yeah, the Capital One MLB Open Golf Tournament.
Well, and there's good golfers that are baseball players. Yeah. A lot of downtime.
Yeah, not interested. My Jayhawks taking on Duke here in a bit. You know, the college football playoff rankings are coming out.
Yes, in between the two games.
But it's going to be a while because I just flipped it back over to Michigan State.
Mm-hmm.
And while Izzo was screaming at his players yet again, Kentucky is making a run. Michigan State was up 20 on Kentucky. It is now 10, and there's still 9.5 minutes left.
Yeah. Kentucky 12th in the country, by the way. The Izzo-led red-ass Spartans, 17th, by the way.
So it's going to be a while.
Yeah.
Because the
timeouts and everything down the stretch.
And they won't reveal the rankings until that game's over.
Yes.
In between that and the Duke-Kansas game. So we got some time.
Yeah.
Coming up tonight in the club, can a tiger really lick your skin off? An expose.
Yikes.
Have you heard that?
I am aware of two specific things on a tiger that are very, very sharp.
Yeah.
One's more disturbing than the other.
Yeah, you're talking about the ween.
Yeah.
I was going to say, that's disgusting.
And you have the teeth.
Right. No.
The claws.
Well, and you have the claws.
Well, but we all know that those are sharp. A tiger's penis is barbed.
Well, so is his tongue.
Yeah.
And that's why I say...
I'd rather be...
Can a tiger really lick your skin off?
I'd rather be licked.
The answer is yes.
Than the alternative of the tiger.
We also have a Vancouver man story.
Oh.
Because, you know.
Look at us.
He's his own archetype of weirdo.
Yeah, we got our own thing going on. You know, over there, we're starting to catch up with some of the big city problems. I saw a guy the other day who had an office furniture fire going, which I had questions. Where did he get that much office furniture? He had like a desk.
So he was like a homeless guy?
Yeah, he was a homeless guy.
Well, probably just people pitch it.
Like a whole thing of office furniture? He had like an L-shaped desk that was kind of like stacked on each other and then like three or four of like the office chairs. And then it was a good roaring fire. I was kind of like, oh my God.
Remember how much crap we gave away when we moved from the old studio to here?
Oh, yeah.
Like we were people were taking TVs home.
Yeah. I would say like if I were homeless.
Yeah.
Well, we've all had, you know, to make and build like sustain fires.
Sure.
It can be a real pain in the ass.
Yeah.
You need a lot of stuff.
It's way harder than you think.
So I'm guessing if you're homeless, you over time, you learn, man, I need to just make one big ass bonfire.
Yeah.
So I need as much stuff as possible to make that happen.
I just wasn't prepared for all the things that I could see a homeless person burning. I was not prepared for an entire office set.
That's a score.
It was a big ass fire.
It's amazing. We have a bunch of homeless people down here by us, and it's unbelievable the stuff that they accumulate.
Yeah, well,
they find everything over there.
Yeah, there's varying degrees of homeless, but like the go getter homeless dude, that guy is amazing. I told the story that I saw a guy pulling a boat trailer on his bike which right here, which I'm certain he stole the bike, but I didn't know you could pull an entire boat trailer with a bike, but he did. Don't know where he was going with that boat trailer, but I'm not going to lie. I was kind of impressed. That's the sort of, kind of can-do attitude that you like to see.
Well, while we wait for the playoff rankings, we will talk about the college football coaching carousel. I have Lane Kiffin audio. Yeah. He is back in the news today.
Yeah, I like Lane Kiffin, but this whole thing is quite annoying.
So we will get to that and some of the latest names popping up at Oregon State coming up next on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, the first domino fell in the college football coaching carousel as James Franklin will be the new coach at Virginia Tech.
And they managed to renegotiate the buyout with offset language. So at least Penn State is off the hook for a bunch of that. So
$9 million Penn State will have to pay him instead of $58 million.
Which is, I know these contracts aren't going to get unwound anytime soon, but this is what needs to happen is you need to have very strong offset language and be like, look, if you want to go coach somewhere else, we're not going to pay you $50 million while someone else pays you $50 million. So good for them for being able to come up with this.
He wanted to go coach.
Yes.
And that's
because if he wanted to, he could have just sat on his ass and exactly. had the $54 million.
Like Brian Kelly.
Yes.
That is a great fit.
I totally agree.
That could not be a more perfect fit.
Yeah.
Virginia Tech is getting a very good head coach, and the head coach is getting an underrated place where he can win.
Yeah. I mean, James Franklin's only sin is not being Ohio State. And, yeah, it's a...
He's really good.
He's really good.
He's good at Vanderbilt. He's good at Penn State.
Penn State. He just wasn't Ohio State.
And so because of that, he's not going to coach at the Ohio States or the Alabamas or the LSUs. Virginia Tech, absolutely perfect play. I feel like that is such a stabilizing hire for that program.
Yes. If I was a second tier or third tier program, I don't know if I could find a better fit than James Franklin. And especially coming off this, like Franklin obviously jumped ship from Vandy to Penn State because it was hard at Vanderbilt. Still is hard at Vanderbilt, right? Despite their success, it's going to be more of a challenge there. I would like to think that with James Franklin, having gone through what he did at Penn State, that if Vautech stays the course, I think James Franklin may be a guy that could stay at Virginia Tech for a long, long, long time.
Yeah.
I'm not certain that he is going to jump at the next Florida or LSU job that becomes available if his name gets brought up for it. So this is...
Well, Beamer did a great job there.
Yeah.
Frank, the dad... Oh, no, I guess Shane's at South Carolina,
yeah.
I was thinking.
Yeah.
But...
It hasn't been the same since.
No, it hasn't, but the school... I think this is why it's a great fit. That's great for Virginia Tech.
Yes.
They're getting a good coach. But I also think Virginia Tech is smart enough and has had success in the past enough to understand they have to give Franklin what he needs to get a guy like Franklin. Like, James Franklin is not just going to go anywhere.
No.
And he even said that. He was on College Game Day, a couple weeks after he got fired, and he said that. He was like, look, I want a coach, but... You know, not all jobs are created equal, and there's certain things I'm going to need to because I want to win a championship.
Yeah,
and I think Virginia Tech is just the absolute perfect spot that isn't a championship. You know, traditionally a championship, they're not a power.
Yeah,
but they're capable.
Yeah,
like they're like what Indiana has done. Mm-hmm. Probably even better.
They actually have a
rabid fan base down there. They have good tradition that people care. There's a lot of recruits in that area. I would imagine Franklin, in order to get that deal done, because it sounds like it took a while to get the deal done, Franklin was asking for some things like, hey, I need commitment from you on a couple of things. And if Virginia Tech gave it to him, dude, that's a win-win. That's a really good spot for him.
And in the ACC, you're not going to face Ohio State and Oregon and those teams every year. It's going to be a smaller hurdle to climb. Resources won't be quite what they were at Penn State, but you're also playing in lesser competition. You have better access to the playoff. And like you said, I think realistic expectations. And I think for a guy like James Franken, realistic expectations are going to be a big deal. And if you win 9 games at Virginia Tech every year, they will love you. Since 2011, would you care to guess how many 10-win seasons Virginia Tech has had?
So there have been 14 seasons in there?
Yeah, 14. So this will be the 15. Yeah, this will be 15 years, and they're not getting to 10 wins this year. They're 3-7.
Yeah, I'd say 9.
1.
Oh.
They've won.
When did Beamer leave?
So Beamer left in 2015. So
this is since Beamer.
Yeah.
Essentially.
They have won. Justin Fuente, his first year there, went 10-4. And since then, they have never won 10 games.
I was thinking Beamer was more recent.
No. Beamer's been gone for a little bit. So it went from Beamer to Fuente to now, Pry, and he's gone. So I forget. I don't know who the interim guy is there, but now it's James Franklin. So, you know, if you come in and you're James Franklin, like you said, rabid fan base, winnable conference, and
you just need money.
You need money. And 8 or 9 wins every single year, and then you start putting up some 10-win seasons, occasionally make a run in an AC title in a playoff, and you can be at Virginia Tech for a long, long time. I couldn't agree more. And this is why I said, like, if Wisconsin was going to get rid of Luke Fickell, and it turns out they didn't, and we'll see what happens there. James Franklin, for a place like, I think, Wisconsin, Virginia Tech, I think Iowa did this with Ferentz. I think Iowa State has done this with... Iowa State's done this with Matt Campbell, right? These are all great fits for programs that are second-tier programs that have really good coaches they've managed to keep around, as opposed to just kind of... at the first sign of trouble, moving on from him.
So Lane Kiffin came out today and said it is not true, the reports that Ole Miss has given him an ultimatum. But it sounds like...
he's certainly looking.
According to the scuttle... Well, yes, of course he's looking. Yeah. I mean, dude, does anybody have it better than him right now? How many coaches have the opportunity to coach any of 3 SEC schools at the same time? That's unbelievable.
Yeah. And by the way, like... hammer SEC program.
Yes, he has the opportunity to pick between Ole Miss, LSU, and Florida.
I just think this is awkward.
That's crazy.
And I understand that you're doing your due diligence, but Ole Miss is going to be in the college football playoff, whether they lose in the Egg Bowl or not. And that's they're going to the playoff. And Lane Kiffin, he may not, but Lane Kiffin has sent his family, his ex-wife, and his brother in the last 2 weeks to LSU and Florida. I mean, come on, Lane. Like...
well, he's obviously, I mean, but what do you want him to do?
I just...
give me the right way to handle that.
I guess, to your point, maybe there isn't. It just, I find it incredible that you are in the midst of a national title run where you are a legitimate title contender, and you are actively looking at other jobs. If I'm an Ole Miss fan, I am absolutely livid. Like, what are you playing for? Like, you are... this is what you are attempting, is to win a national title, and it is right in front of you. And you can't tell me that guy's full attention is on Ole Miss, because he's obviously sending family members to look at other schools that you have to play.
The scuttle is that a few weeks ago, his agency, he's repped by CAA.
Yeah.
They were negotiating an extension at Ole Miss.
Yeah.
And now a lot of people are saying the tenor has shifted.
Yeah.
And reportedly, Lane, first of all, he's very hard to read.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of a weasel like that.
Yeah.
And the other thing is he reportedly has major concerns about both LSU and Florida.
Yeah.
He doesn't like the political climate at LSU, and he doesn't think he jives with the leadership at Florida.
And yet he's still actively flirting and making out with them while being married to someone else.
Coaches do it all the time. I don't know what you want him to do. Like, this is a this is a must capitalize moment for him in his life. Yeah. And this is a really hard one. We talked about this with Jonathan Smith. Sometimes I give these coaches a little bit more slack maybe than other people because they can't control the timing. Yeah. I mean, LSU and Florida, that's a really tough dance. Yeah. LSU and Florida won an answer.
Yeah.
And you're in the middle of a playoff race. You can't just blow them off.
Yeah.
What is he supposed to do?
I guess in an ideal world, I would like someone to say, you know what, I will talk to you at the end of my season. I'm trying to win a national title, but...
We talked, you were gone.
I guess that doesn't work.
When you were in Portugal, I talked to Dan Lanning about this.
Yeah.
And he was great about it. He said, and we were mainly talking, well, we were speaking certainly in generality, general terms, because sure. I didn't want to bring up Will Stein, but he even brought up Will Stein. He's like, yeah, I've had these talks with Will Stein. And he basically said, look, this is just a common thing in college football.
Yeah.
And everybody goes through it. If you're having success, you're going to go through it. He said, when you schedule your stuff, like your Zoom calls or whatever, you just have to do it at times that it doesn't interfere with your job. He said, listen, I know you guys are going to be popular out there, talking to his coordinators like Will Stein. I need you focused on this job, but I also am here to support you and help you get where you want to go in your life.
Yeah.
That, it's a really...
I think there's a difference in my mind between being a coordinator and trying to move up and having a top 15 job in America, where you're on the precipice of a national championship and you're literally...
What is he supposed to do, though?
Yeah,
tell me the way to handle it. Let me hear... I'll let you hear what he said.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is about a minute long. And, of course, he's being asked about this right and left. This is right after... So they just played Florida.
Yeah.
That's the other thing.
I know.
And he beat them, although it was close. Mm-hmm. And this was after the game where Ole Miss beat Florida.
Lane, read the story from Ross Dellinger this week that he had that sit down with you, and there was a really striking quote there at the end where you talked about picturing yourself being at the elite Blue Bloods, but you sort of changed and you didn't think it was necessarily a place like Ole Miss, but you've sort of changed your way of thinking and that maybe this is the last chapter. There's a lot of talk about you for coaching searches right now. Do you anticipate being the head coach at Ole Miss next year?
Yeah, I think the last chapter thing makes me feel like I'm like 80 years old, you know? So I don't like being old, so I don't really like that part of the story that makes me feel like I'm on my last chapter. So I love what we're doing here. Today was awesome, and I don't talk about that stuff. And really to even talk about it right now would be so disrespectful to our players and how well they play today. So, you know. We got a lot of things going here, doing really well, and I love it here. So,
yeah.
So again,
he is
certainly sniffing around. Like that sounds to me like a guy who really doesn't know.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what to say. He doesn't know. He doesn't know. He may be going. He may not be going. He's likely going.
Yeah.
But I just that is all he can say. I mean, the only other thing he could do is worse, and that is go to his team and say, boys, I'm in this with you. I'm not going anywhere.
Gone.
And that's what coaches do.
Yep.
And then they up and leave. He's not doing that. I actually give him credit for that. It's the way Jonathan Smith got a lot of heat for the way he left Oregon State. Yeah. But again, I thought he was as upright or as upfront as he could be.
Yeah.
It's just a really tough situation.
To me, I guess it leaves a bad taste in my mouth. And I get it, right? It's just a job and you want a better one. I struggle with the you're in the midst of a national title run. And I do. I guess I want that coach to say to LSU or Ole Miss, if you want me, you can come talk to me at the end of this, you know, when I'm out of the national championship picture. And if you have to move on before then, okay, well, I obviously have a good here. I'm going to go try to win a national championship. I think that's different than being an offensive coordinator. And I say that it's probably a Pollyanna view, but that would bother me immensely. And if I'm an Ole Miss person and Lane Kiffin denied it, I have no problem with Ole Miss saying, dude, one or the other, man. And if you can't make up your decision by the Egg Bowl, we'll make the decision for you and get the hell out of here. This is the Ben Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers. You either are or you aren't. And I would have a huge problem if I was a player with this. It's one thing if you're in the midst of a decent season, but dude, we're trying to win the first national title here, and it's within our sight, and you are actively flirting about not one, but two jobs.
But
what does that say to your team?
But if you want him, but he can't help that. But if you want him to be are or aren't, how can you then give him an ultimate? Like, you want him to be to say, I'm committed to Ole Miss,
yeah.
and then we'll worry about it.
Yeah.
But Ole Miss is coming to him saying, in or out.
Yeah.
Well, what is he to do? He has to sniff around.
Well, but how hard is it? Again, I don't think you need to take a month to sniff around. Look, if you don't want to be there, take one of the jobs. But this idea that this gets drug out for a month now, both of these jobs have been open and they've been Lane Kiffin's if he wants them. And here we are at the end of the season and you still can't make up your mind. Dude, Esser, get off the pot. The other problem with all this is, you know, Jimmy Sexton is the agent for 14 of the 16 SEC schools. There's another problem in that Jimmy Sexton basically runs this. And you use it to, you know, you use the leverage and there's nothing you can really do about it. It really is a major problem, I think, in the world of college football. And it's also why I don't ever want to hear anyone give any crap to a player for bailing and looking for another school. Because we hear this all the time that, oh, you know, I have to actively recruit my team and these guys leave at a moment's notice. And hey, we're in the midst of trying to win games here. And this guy's already, you know, putting his name out there to other coaches about looking, you know, where else he wants to go. So is Lane Kiffin. And so is every other coach. And by the way, that coach is already making $11 million. The kid isn't making $11 million, nor does he have the next 20 years to make $11 million. And Lane Kiffin does. And he still can't make a decision. Why is it that we demonize the kids? But with coaches, we're like, well, what's he supposed to do?
That I agree with you. But I just find me a coach, a head coach that makes a jump that handles it perfectly,
yeah.
It's impossible.
It's tough.
You just can't do it.
Well, I'll tell you what.
You do the best you can.
You do the best you can, and I think the way Lane Kiffin is handling this is not the best you can. I think he's doing it piss poor.
All right, we have a new Kurt Cignetti,
potentially,
and three names popping up at Oregon State. We'll get to those items coming up next. Here's Schultze.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
So the Michigan State game is over. Yeah. They are wieners. They beat Kentucky.
They kicked the hell out of them. By the way, that kid right there, I have no idea who he is, but he's the most Michigan State player of all time. Look at that dude.
Yeah, that or Indiana.
Yeah, one of the two.
And yes, he is white.
Damn, I'm sick of 20-year-olds trying to wear facial hair like they're 45.
Boy, you ain't kidding. It's bad. Look at that guy. Look what he has going on. Yeah. What is happening? And he's not 20, dude. He's freaking 18.
Shave. It looks like something terrible. Else.
Look, everyone went through their teen wolf phase where you're like, yeah. Can't grow this, but you're excited that you're wearing. My son every now and then comes home with a mustache, and you're like, bud. You just got to let him, him work your way through it, and hopefully the genes kick in eventually.
So we're going to get the college football playoff rankings now, and then Kansas Duke comes on. While we wait, we're talking about the coaching carousel, Lane Kiffin. The first domino was James Franklin, but Lane Kiffin is going to drop a lot of dominoes. Mm-hmm. Or, in other words, he tips.
Yeah,
the rest should fall into place.
Well, those are the biggest jobs
after
right?
that. And you got to get going. I mean, it's recruiting and transfer window and everything. James Madison's coach Bob Chesney has become the new favorite at UCLA,
and he, by the way, he took over from. Kurt Cignetti, who was the coach at James Madison.
Yep.
And by the way, James Madison has an outside chance at being a playoff team this year.
Yeah, they're calling him the new Kurt Cignetti.
Interesting.
So he could go to UCLA and perhaps stabilize the Bruins. He has he is really on their radar, according to the rumor mill.
Mm. I hadn't seen that. Yeah, because that's a job that you kind of just forget about. Like, you don't
Well, I mean, the major coaches with a ton of experience probably aren't going to UCLA, unless your name's Jed Fish.
Yeah.
And they probably don't even want Jed Fish. A guy like Chesney makes a lot of sense because, you know, I mean, it's a Big Ten job, big market.
Yeah.
I mean, you go from James Madison to UCLA.
Yeah.
If you're James Franklin, you can do better. If you're, you know,
sure,
whomever else, you can do better. So UCLA, that could be, speaking of good fits, that could be a good fit.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like, I would rather take that shot than go get, you know, the retread of the, who have they tried over there? Like, they got Jarrell and places like that.
Who do you think, what is best case scenario for UCLA? It might be Bob Chesney.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I
because if you're shooting for somebody other north of that, I don't know if they're going to go there.
No. I mean, this sounds terrible, but like, if you have good options, UCLA is not where you're going.
Right.
That is not a good job. It just isn't. They don't have a great tradition there. They haven't been very good in the past. They don't have a lot of resources. No one goes to those games. It's just not a good job. It just isn't. So yes, you need to find a guy that, a big school isn't going to come calling, but you are in the Big Ten, but also, you know, being in the Big Ten that, you're into a bit of a meat grinder, right? Like, you could make the argument, and UCLA, by the way, usually doesn't pay that well. Be interested to see whoever they get, what they have to pony up for it. But that's also one of those, be careful what you wish for jumping into the SEC or the Big Ten if you're in a kind of a botter feeding program, because 2 or 3 years, you can get chewed out and spit out the other side because you ain't winning games.
Well, Cignetti jumped from James Madison to Indiana.
Yes, he did.
He seems to be doing pretty well. So I'm sure Chesney might look at that and go, it could work. Yeah. But yes,
Google me.
It's really bad if James Madison's coach is turning you down.
Yeah.
You got problems.
Yeah.
Three names popping up at Oregon State. We know that Paul Chryst is in the running.
Yes.
He was the head coach at Wisconsin, two-time Big Ten coach of the year.
It's just interesting that no one has come sniffing around him in 3 years because he did a nice job at Wisconsin. And yet,
Maybe he was one of those guys sitting on a pile of buyout money.
Yeah, just sitting around, and now he's like, all right, let's get back into it. I don't know.
Montana State's Brent Vegan.
Yep.
He is 50 years old. He is a Craig Bold disciple. That, of course, the North Dakota State pipeline. He played and coached there. He is 56-12 so far in Bozeman at Montana State.
He basically plays for a national title every year. I mean, he's one of the...
Sounds like a good coach.
Yeah, it's one of the premier programs.
I don't think he's lost, like, in the regular season.
No, his record is ridiculous. Well,
it's 56-12.
Yes.
As I mentioned. So he's lost 12 games. I don't know where those were, but... and then the third coach whose name is popping up at Oregon State, according to this report from Yahoo... Mm-hmm. Or no, sorry, CBS Sports had this. Bama offensive coordinator Jamarcus Shepard.
Yeah.
He is only 42... He has suckled at the teats of the great Mike Leach, Jeff Brohm, and, of course, Kalen DeBoer. He was at Washington and followed DeBoer to Alabama.
Yeah, so you really have kind of the, and we talked about this, you have all three archetypes, right? Like,
yeah.
You have Old Faithful, knows the program, has been there, has coached at Oregon State, has been a head coach, was a good head coach. But now is a little longer in the tooth, probably not going anywhere else. So if you hire him, he's going to be there probably as long as you want him. And probably not going to cost you a bunch of money. And it's the only bad side would be, why isn't he getting other looks? And is there a ceiling on what you get? And then you've got the kind of what Washington State did with Jimmy Rogers. You go down a level to the FCS and you find a guy that wins 12 games every single year since he's been there. So since being at Montana State, he's gone 12-3, 12-4, 8-4, 15-1, and 9-2 this year. Like, all that dude does is win. And he has lost twice in the national championship game. So just everything you can want minus winning the national championship. Can he recreate what he did at Montana State? Can he do it in Corvallis? Or do you go with, and this is kind of, like, what I like, and I don't know much about Jamarcus Shepard. This is the guy that I have always been intrigued by. Someone like this. Young, energetic, offensive-minded guy, has been around really successful programs, really successful coaches, that has never really sniffed one of these jobs. Downside to Jamarcus Shepard is if he goes there and has success in 3 years, he gone.
And that's my problem.
That's the problem with it.
Is I think that there is a high boomer bust rate, maybe a higher ceiling with a guy like Jamarcus Shepherd.
Yeah.
You never know. But he's not reaching that ceiling at your school.
No.
That's why I don't like that type of hire.
Yeah.
The vegan hire is interesting. Doesn't he leave too if he has a lot of success?
Yes.
Okay, so Paul Christ, I go back to Paul Christ. I think you need to stabilize this S.
No.
It is messy.
No.
And that guy, he's already been there. He's familiar with Oregon State.
Yep.
He was a hell of a... He's a two-time Big Ten Coach of the Year.
Had a great record at Wisconsin.
He was very good at Wisconsin. I don't know why he's been on the sidelines. Certainly that would come up in an interview. But I think that is as stabilizing as you could get. And he's not going in. He's older.
Yeah.
So he's, you know...
You would think...
He'd retire before he'd probably get another job.
You would think that if he goes to Oregon State, he's staying at Oregon State. You can
right.
keep him.
Right. And so I think that's one of those things where you commit to him. And by the way, he's not going to be that expensive for
no.
you. You commit to him. He commits to you. See the thing through. Don't fire him at the first sign of trouble or even the second sign of trouble.
Yeah.
Just say, hey, for 5 years or 7 years, however long it is, let's be patient. We believe in this guy and see what he can do to at least get you to a level where maybe more higher profile coaches or, you know, better coaches are interested in your gig.
So Paul Christ was the head coach for 3 years at Pittsburgh. He went 6-7, 7-6, 6-6. Washed out after 3 years, 19
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
He was at Pitt.
And then he goes to Wisconsin. And at Wisconsin, he goes 10-3, 11-3, 13-1. Wins the Orange Bowl, by the way. 8-5.
Who did they beat in the Orange Bowl?
Let's see.
Because I kind of don't remember the 13.
They beat the Miami Hurricanes 34-24 in the Orange Bowl.
I just don't remember that team. 13-1? Like, who was on that team?
13-1. That might have been. Let's see. I'm trying to think of.
I picture a great running back, but I can't name him.
I was going to say, was that maybe Melvin Gordon?
Ooh,
perhaps.
That could be right.
In that range? That would have been 2017.
Their quarterback was Alex Hornibrook.
I do remember Alex Hornibrook. Jim Leonard was their defensive coordinator.
Oh, you know who they had? Jonathan Taylor.
Oh, yeah. Well, that would work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jonathan Taylor.
That explains
turns
it.
Out Jonathan Taylor quite good. 8-5, 10-4, lose to the Rose Bowl. That would be, I believe, to Oregon. And then 4-3 during COVID, 9-4, 2-3, and they fire him. So, you know, he was really good. Now, I had someone point this out, and I tried to dig up some articles, and it sounds like maybe there was some concern about his recruiting, and he kind of butted heads with administration. That's a tough administration there at Wisconsin. And so it kind of sounds like maybe there was a falling out, and it wasn't even necessarily on-field performance, because 9-4 and then 2-3 and they fire your ass.
Well, hasn't everyone had a falling out with
it's a tough
Barry Alvarez?
It's a tough place.
It's obviously very tough. Gary Anderson's stint there was even weirder.
Well, and Brett Bielema left. He just was like, dude, I'm not dealing with this crap.
Right, so is that on Christ? I mean, I don't know. I think there's a lot to like about Paul Christ. And by the way, Dave Bartu,
I mentioned this
a couple weeks ago. Yes, Dave Bartu called him. What did he call him? Let me go back to my text and read that to you again, because he likes him.
Yeah, Dave's a big Paul Christ guy.
And Dave's in on some of this coaching search stuff.
People definitely use Dave's services to kind of filter through some of this stuff. So, I will tell you this. Paul Christ is the safest of the hires. He's
and that's what I think safe is what you need.
Well, then it is not the way I would go, but if you hire Paul Christ, I don't know, outside of just angry Beaver fan that wants to be pissed, I don't know how you can be upset with that hire. If Paul Christ ends up being the guy, I mean, proof's in the pudding, and you'll find out in a couple years, but you'll do it with anyone. I just don't see how you can make an argument that Paul Christ is a bad hire. I don't get it.
I cannot find it.
Yeah, he said the same thing to me too. He is a big Paul Christ guy.
Well, he put on a couple reasons. I wanted to.
Yeah, he had some of the numbers and stuff.
Yeah.
What he did. Was it sure it wasn't on a group text?
Well, was it on our text?
It might have been a group text. Okay. Maybe that's why you can't find it.
I might have missed that.
Because I think it might have been a group with all of us. Because I do remember seeing something from Dave on that as well.
Well, I can't find it. Anyway, he likes him. So, I don't know. I think Paul Christ would be a fine hire. I know it wouldn't blow anyone's hair back, but I'm not sure there would be a hire at Oregon State that would.
No. Well, at least at this point, because you haven't really heard of the other people. And at this point, if you're Oregon State, at least you're hearing some names.
Ooh, Bama 10, Notre Dame 9, Oklahoma 8.
Yeah.
That probably means Oregon at 7, right?
I would assume. I'm guessing the Duckies come in there.
You know what that means.
So 7, who would they?
They would host Alabama.
They would host Alabama. Although they, a lot of that could change.
No, it can't. This is it.
This is it. It's the final
rankings. This is it right here.
Final right here. Final, final.
Yeah, Oregon 7. So the Ducks, if the season ended today, they would host Alabama. Now, last week, if the season ended then, they would have hosted Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
Man. Which would you rather have? Because that's tough.
That's a good question.
Who would you rather host?
Who would I rather host?
And I don't mean like for fun. Like, I think it would be more fun to host Alabama.
Yeah.
But I mean, you want to win. Who do you want to play?
Well, that's a really good question. Because Notre Dame can play the style that you want to play. They can play a bit of that rock fight. And I think you're... that's good. I don't know.
I don't know on that.
I honestly think I'd rather play Notre Dame. I think the Ty Simpson and Bernard and Ryan Williams, I think that kind of scares me a little bit.
Yeah, I think I want Notre Dame because they have a freshman quarterback, and that's the only reason.
It's a freshman quarterback, and I think at this point, Oregon is very happy to play that sort of game and just line up and let's punch each other in a phone booth. And Dante Moore is such an upgrade. Like, we can play in a phone booth, we can punch with you, we're both physical, we can both run the ball, and our quarterback is significantly better than yours. I think I would lean towards taking Notre Dame.
All right, we'll get to the college football playoff rankings, the latest, coming up next on The Fan. All right, the college football playoff rankings, the latest, are out. Here's the tournament. If the season were to end today, you would have, this is the third straight week, you're having a different 12 seed.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first one was Memphis. Last week it was South Florida, and now it's Tulane.
Yeah. And remember, this is merely based on, at the moment, who the top team is. Like, they have Miami in, but simply because they're the highest rated ACC team, Miami may not even play in the ACC championship game.
So Tulane is 12. They would play at Texas Tech, and the winner would play Georgia. Then you have the 9 seed Notre Dame playing at number 8, Oklahoma.
That'd be fun.
Real fun.
Yeah.
And the winner would play Ohio State.
You want to talk about a rock fight? That's...
that's a tough bracket part there. I mean, those are... that's some really good defense right in there.
Physical play.
Then you have Miami taking on Ole Miss in Oxford. And the winner would play Texas A&M. And then you have the 10 seed Alabama visiting 7 seed Oregon, with the winner playing Indiana.
You have been clamoring for years that you want Bama. And
well, not me. I think Duck fans have.
Duck fan.
I think that is always... if you have one team that Oregon fans have wanted to play,
yes,
over all these years of their growth, it's Alabama.
Yes.
And particularly now being coached by Kalen DeBoer. Sign me up.
Yeah, the DeBoer thing even adds a fun little element to it.
Because Lanning can't beat DeBoer.
Yes. Although, can you imagine if they lost Alabama? You know, Washington would poke fun at that, too. That would be a fun...
it's low-hanging fruit.
By the way, have you seen what Miami needs? So, they have Miami in because Miami's the highest-ranked ACC team. Have you seen what Miami needs to do just to make the ACC championship game?
Yeah, it's virtually impossible. Yeah,
so Miami needs to win its remaining two games, Virginia Tech and Pittsburgh.
Which, both on the road.
Yeah, Virginia Tech stinks. Pittsburgh's pretty good. But then you also have to have Virginia lose to Virginia Tech, Pittsburgh lose to Georgia Tech, Duke beats North Carolina, SMU loses one of its last two games, and Wake beats Duke. You need all of those things in order for Miami to even make the ACC title.
Serious question.
Game. Yeah.
Serious question.
Yeah.
And I'm being dead serious.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading an article today that was making the case that Miami should be in this field. It's not that they should be in the field. It's that they are a playoff caliber team. Yeah. And we all know that they are.
Sure.
Talent-wise.
Yes.
Now, that doesn't mean that they should be in, because if they slipped up and didn't make the ACC title game, that's their own fault.
Yes.
But they are a playoff caliber team. Serious question.
Yeah.
Should Miami be in that tournament over the ACC champion?
No. Absolutely not.
No matter who it is.
No matter who it is.
If it's Duke.
I don't care.
And they have 4 losses.
Boy, see now.
Because Duke can win it.
Duke can win it.
If it's for, dude, yeah. You know that Miami is better than every one of those teams that's going to play in.
I don't care.
And I get that.
This is what bothered me. It bothers me when we ignore head to head.
Yeah.
Right? When you have a team that beats someone else and when you win your conference and the other team doesn't or even get to the title game, and this isn't like in the olden days where we had East and West, right? They're just taking the two best teams. No. Otherwise, why do we even play conference title games? So as crappy as it is, if there is a three-loss ACC team, which is a real possibility, that ends up winning the thing, and Miami's like, dude, we're 10-2. What the hell?
What if they beat them?
that may be a little bit different.
Really?
If it's 10-2 and they won head to, I think head to head matters more than anything else.
So right now, let me give you the odds.
Yeah.
Right now, so Duke's not going to win it.
No, Duke's not. They lost last week. They're basically
right.
out.
But. Georgia Tech is +170.
Yeah.
Virginia is +240. Mm. SMU is +330. And Pitt is +800. Okay, those are the four. And then Miami's +850. Yeah. Miami could get into there.
But
let's say they don't.
Yeah.
They're out. Let's say they win their last two. They have two losses. Mm. And those two losses are to who?
SMU and Louisville, both in conference.
SMU and Louisville. Okay. So that means that did they beat Georgia Tech, Virginia, and they would have beat Pitt?
They didn't play any of those.
Well, they're going to play Pitt.
They're going to play Pitt, but they did not.
They didn't play.
They
okay.
didn't play Virginia. They didn't play Virginia Tech.
Okay, so let's say the easiest.
Well, they play Virginia Tech at the end, so yeah.
Well, not Virginia. We don't care about Virginia Tech. Oh, we're talking about Georgia Tech, Virginia, or Pitt.
They did not play. They did not play two of those.
The easiest scenario is Pitt wins the ACC.
Yeah.
Miami beat them. You still think Pitt should be in the tournament over Miami?
No.
Okay.
No.
So then if Georgia Tech...
Head to head.
Okay. So then if Georgia Tech wins the ACC but didn't play Miami...
No.
Do you think Georgia Tech should be in?
Yeah, F you.
And Virginia as well.
The only way I will give you is if you have similar resumes, but one, because of tiebreakers or whatever, went to the ACC title game and won it, then yes, I agree that Miami should be in, but I don't think that's the way it works because they said it's the four highest ranked conference champions, so Miami can't even get an automatic berth. If you win one of the Power Four, you have to go. You are in.
They would have to be in the top 12.
Yes, they would have to be an at large team.
And they are currently ranked 11th.
Yeah.
So it raises the scenario that they may be ranked higher. Than the ACC champion.
Yeah, it's a wild thing.
Actually, I don't think they may be. If they win their last two games convincingly, they're not going to drop below the ACC champion's not going to be in the top 10.
Probably not.
So, I think Miami might get in as an at large. I think they might.
Well, I'll at least say that the tournament is more interesting with Miami in it.
100%.
So, but yeah, yes. you're right. I mean, I'm looking here at it.
Somebody's getting booted out of there.
Although if Tech keeps winning, it'll be, I would think Georgia Tech would bump above them. And then that would be scary if you're Miami, because then do you get left out again? You know, and if you do get left out, I'll tell Mario Cristobal, stop losing games you have no business losing to. Stop losing to SMU and stop losing to
well, of course. You know what?
What was the other one? Louisville and SMU.
You know what Miami really needs is they want to see chaos in the SEC.
Yeah.
They want Bama to lose again. They want Oklahoma to lose again because that opens a spot for them and one less SEC team.
Look, and this is where I think bias comes in and it bothers me a little bit. Like, we consider Miami to be a really good team, and Miami beat Notre Dame, and kudos to that. You still lost two games in a very crappy conference. And let me start by saying I do not believe that BYU is a top 10 team. They're not. They proved it against Texas Tech. But the Big 12 isn't any crappier than the ACC. Both of those conferences are very middling, and BYU easily could end up being a one-loss team going into the Big 12 title game, right? And the only game that they would have lost all year is Texas Tech. And if they lose to Texas Tech again, you know, if that's Miami, you're screaming from the mountaintop saying, hey, we're a one-loss team. What the hell, man? You said conference title games don't punish us, but you're not going to give BYU that credit. But you will give Miami that credit. And I think that is where preseason bias and brand bias plays a role in that.
And just talent.
And just, yeah. And
Miami has more talent.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
They also have a high-profile quarterback.
And you've also lost twice to two teams that aren't very good.
It's the age-old debate. We do it every year. It's resume versus best.
Yeah.
And you're more of a resume guy. I think there's a little bit of a balance that should be in there. But there's every year, it's like clockwork. Yeah. We're going to argue about some teams. In a very controversial one this year, maybe Miami. It also may just play itself out where it's like, dude, they're not getting in.
It's one thing, like, I feel like Notre Dame, right? And by the way, Miami beat Notre Dame, right? Give them credit. But when I look at Notre Dame's two losses, I'm more inclined to be like, okay, you lost to arguably the 11th ranked team in the country by a whisper, and you lost to the number three team in the country, could be the number one team in the country, by a whisper. That's different to me if I'm looking at that than losing to a four-loss Louisville team and a four-loss SMU team.
For sure.
So
It all matters.
Yeah, and I just don't – when you lose games that you have no business losing, I don't feel bad for you when the everything shakes out and you end up on the outside looking in.
All right, the club is next. Can a tiger lick your skin off? The answer is yes on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.